Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, and really wanted to dive into, really wanted to focus in on this bullpen here today. First of all, you know, the offseason rolls on here as we are now into mid-January territory. We're into the point of the offseason where we got a month to go, a little less than a month to go until Truck Day. That is, of course, some are saying the most exciting day of the baseball season means that, baseball's officially back, if you will. The springtime is right around the corner, even though there might be snow on the ground in the Northeast. That is the day, that is the time when we can officially turn the page to it. And hopefully the Eagles, you know, for those who are Eagles fans who are listeners to this, hopefully the Eagles can give us a playoff run to get us to that point. But Truck Day is like the day when, you know, real baseball fanatics come out and go, yes, this is my time. This is a tradition unlike any other. They're packing up the truck. They're headed to Clearwater. The Fanatic's giving it a little wave. He'll see you in Florida. You know, all the equipment, right? But, you know, there's always going to be excitement around the baseball season. I get excited for baseball no matter what. Real Phillies degenerates like myself remember when the Phillies lost to the University of Tampa in the Florida Gulf Coast, you know, league opener. The Grapefruit League opener, if you will. And that is, you know, that's some real degenerate type stuff when you can go back and remember those times. But there is one point of concern that I have entering. There's a few concerns, but one big concern that I feel is going under-addressed, and it's something that seems to go under-addressed a lot in baseball off seasons. Every team who's in contention, every team who is looking to contend for the postseason around the trade deadline is always looking for bullpen help. And it always feels like these teams are, you know, kind of neglect it a little bit when it comes to looking for bullpen help, you know, in the offseason, rather. Like, rather than waiting, you know, two-thirds of the way through the year, you could just get your bullpen help in the offseason, not be in such desperate need, not have to give up a prospect for a rental, kind of like the Phillies did with Estevez last year. But based upon how this offseason's going, listen, the bullpen for the Phillies was a real strength last year. It's not going to be the same strength that it was, you know, a season ago. It's just not. It's not going to be the same oomph. You know, it's not going to be the same thing that other teams fear as it was a season ago. And that was huge. That was huge when holding debt. That could be the difference. Phillies won 95 games last year. That could be the difference between winning 90 and 95 is the strength of your bullpen. I mean, yeah, Thompson's going to manage it correctly, but, you know, there are going to be days where your starter doesn't give you your best. And they were able to string together 9, sometimes 12 outs when they needed to in this modern day and age of bullpenning and, you know, not going through the lineup a third or fourth time or playing more matchups. That kind of thing happens more even in a 162-game season. And that's just kind of where That's kind of where things stand. So I wanted to kind of dive into this bullpen, you know, review what's happened, give some thoughts on what roles certain guys might jump into. Let's start with the obvious. Let's start with the move that kind of took everyone by, not surprise, but everyone should have taken note of over, you know, this past weekend, which was the Jeff Hoffman not returning to the Phillies. He signs a 3-year, $33 million contract with the Blue Jays. Now, the bizarre thing is he apparently failed two physicals, one with the Braves, one with he had previously tried to sign a deal with the Orioles as well. Now, a few thoughts when it comes to this deal. Number one is Jeff Hoffman. I do and I don't care what he did in the postseason. Obviously, he chose the worst time of the year to forget how to pitch. He forgot, you know, he picked the worst time of the year to kind of hit a wall, so to speak. But Jeff Hoffman was one of the best relievers in all of baseball. Like, that guy was an all-star for a reason. That guy was Mr. Reliable. For people who were tuning into this team day in and day out, people knew that you could rely on Jeff Hoffman. If you needed a fireman, as they call it in the business, like if you needed a guy to just get F you out, like you were turning to Jeff Hoffman. And Rob Thompson knew he could rely on him night after night after night after night after night. Always seemed like he wanted the baseball. And he had a little bit of that F you in him. Like he would go up, you know, against opposing hitters, and sometimes they would know like what was coming out of his hand, and it didn't even matter. Like he just kind of had that dog in him, if you will. Pretty cool story that's been well documented, which is that he wasn't even supposed to be on the Phillies, and then because he was pitching a Bryce Harper in batting practice, and Bryce struggled to see the ball well out of his hand, he kind of gave him a little bit of a recommendation. Doesn't hurt when, you know, Bryce Harper wants you, you know, on the team like that. But now he's gone, and I love Jeff Hoffman. I genuinely one of my favorite Phillies of the last couple of years, especially what he turned into this past season, becoming an all-star. Really feels like he revitalized his career, and now he's not going to be with the Phillies, and he's going to be up in Toronto. And you know, was genuinely upset that he, you know, has moved on from the team. I get it. You know, he signed 3 years, $33 million, did seem lower than what I was expecting for him. The estimations on him were coming in, you know, 3 years, $45 million, 3 years, $50 million. He got 11 per year. Now, I still maintain throughout the entire offseason that I would have extended a qualifying offer to him. I think going year to year with a guy like that made a lot of sense. Our guy Tim Kelly in the most recent Zoom call with Dave Dombrowski a couple of weeks ago pointed out to him that he has never, I mean, Dombrowski knew this, but pointed out, I guess, to anyone who tuned into it, that no one, he's never, Dave Dombrowski in his time with the Phillies has never signed a reliever to more than a 2-year contract. You know, guys like Strom, Alvarado, et cetera. Like he's never signed a guy to more than 2-year contract, never given him 3 years. And it did seem like Hoffman was going to get 3 years. Like that just always kind of seemed like that was in the cards. It always seemed like, you know, he was looking for those 3 years. Now, the question is, what amount of money would he have gone a shorter term deal on? I mean, obviously, if you're Hoffman, you prefer more years, it's more guaranteed years. You know that over the next 3 years, you'll get $33 million. But I don't know if the Phillies said, hey, we'll give you $30 million over the next 2 years, would they have done it? If he'd said, hey, we'll give you $21 million or somewhere in that neighborhood, which is what the qualifying offer was for 1 year, would he have done it? That way, if, you know, he says no, you can kind of move off of him. Or not, if he says no, you get a draft pick. But if he says yes and he's not what you were hoping for, you can kind of move off of him within a year. That seemed to make more sense. Like, I think losing Hoffman's a huge deal. I thought he was the best reliever in their bullpen. And I think it's going to, out of necessity, not out of this is necessarily what you want, going to move guys who are currently in the bullpen up in roles that some of them, you know, it's going to be a big ask for. I don't think it's, you know, for instance, I don't think it's ever a good thing when you're asking for a lot out of Jose Alvarado. You know, he's an up and down experience to say the least. So, yeah, it's not, it's not great. It doesn't thrill me that that's where things kind of stand with it. Also, it didn't really seem like the Phillies were ever super entertaining the idea of bringing him back. Like, it felt like they were more than content with him walking out the door. I get money is a real thing. You know, it's not our money, right? Like, it's easy for me to say, yeah, just give him, you know, $50 million for 1 year. What the hell do I care? Like, it's not our money. I do get the luxury tax is a real thing, and they're near that second threshold where everything gets taxed more heavily. And, you know, John Middleton, as wealthy as he is, and as willing as he's been to spend big money, is not Steve Cohen up in New York, where he just has FU money and doesn't care if he makes a profit or not. Like, that's not the class the Phillies are in. They're probably in that tier two class behind, you know, who the real, like, the Mets, Dodgers, Yankees even still don't even spend at the rate the Mets do, as we saw this past offseason. The Phillies are in that tier two. And the fact that they were unable to extend a deal like that to Jeff Hoffman, the fact that they were unable to, basically unwilling to do it. Now, I should also say, we don't know what the Phillies knew about his medical history. I mean, this is the first we're hearing that there was anything wrong with his shoulder. Apparently, the Orioles flagged it, you know, didn't want to do the deal. The Braves flagged it, didn't want to do the deal. I'm very happy that he will not be in the division. That would have not been fun. It was a lot more fun when he was pitching against Atlanta than for them. So that is a good thing. But he's still in Toronto. It's still a loss that I don't know how you replace a guy like that. And now the Phillies are in the position that I kind of described to open up the show, which is, okay, like the bullpen's going to be worse. I can already tell you it's going to be a need at the deadline. They're going to have to overspend on someone. We will judge Dave Dombrowski based upon his deadline again this year. He hasn't really made a huge splash at any deadline so far this offseason. And so, yeah, now we're in a situation where the Phillies bullpen, I can almost guarantee you, is going to be a need, is going to be something Dave Dombrowski absolutely needs to address, something that Dombrowski is going to be searching for come June, July. Also doesn't give you a whole lot of, like, what if one of these guys goes down? Like, what if Matt Strom goes down? Like, who's your go-to reliever? Romano, I guess? Like, he's taken over that Estevez role. I don't know. There's a lot that's being left to be desired is the words I'm looking for. A lot here that is frustrating. It is frustrating to, you know, wrap your mind around. It's frustrating to think about that this is going to be the Phillies bullpen. I think the Phillies pitching in general, not just in the bullpen, but on the starting staff, has been pretty fortunate with health. I mean, what if this is the year that Aaron Nola spent some time on the shelf and now you got to fill more innings? Or Zach Wheeler spent some time on the shelf. It doesn't feel like the Phillies are that far away from being in a not great situation. And that doesn't even account for the fact of we don't know what this offense is going to look like on any given day. Certainly that let us all down in the postseason. I'd say I'm generally optimistic about the Phillies. I've said on this very podcast, you know, in previous weeks, I still believe in the team, generally speaking. I still, you know, think there's reason to believe in them, believe that their window is not closed. I think it's a bit reactionary, people who say that the window is closed. But to say that, you know, I feel necessarily as good about them entering this season as I did last year, I don't think that's accurate. And it also, that has to factor into the fact that the Mets got better. The Braves are getting healthier. The Phillies are projected, I think, one of the top five win totals in the National League, but third in the National League East. And I know you don't play as many games against the NL East as you used to anymore. Now it's 14, used to be 19, but that's not going to be fun to go through those standings each and every year. Looking at more than likely going back to being a wild card team. I know they won the division in 24. I had a fun time on my Twitter account counting down the magic number each and every day until they won the National League East. It was a joy to do that, but to say that I'm, you know, ready to say that they're gonna go back to back as NL East champs, like, I'm not there. It's gonna be a tough division to win. If you don't win the division, then you're automatically in the 4 seed or the 5 seed, and you're in a 3-game series in the wild card round. And you know, we all spent time these past couple of years remarking at how, you know, when they won the World Series in 08, they then declined year, you know, each of those years, lost the World Series in 09, lost the NLCS in 10, lost the NLDS in 11. There was no wild card round to, well, I guess there was, actually the wild card round got introduced in 2012. They didn't make that. So, but in 9, 10, 11, there wasn't a wild card round back then. 2012, it got introduced. And then when the Phillies started making the playoffs again, they've now gone to the 3-team wild card round. They've only played one wild card series since this has been introduced, and it was in 22. They've played in two. They've been 22, they went to St. Louis and won 2-0. They hosted the Marlins in 23, won 2-0. But now you're in a situation where you could be going on the road again. What if they lose the best 2 out of 3 series? And that was the whole 2025 Phillies, like, because you didn't, you know, keep your bullpen as strong, or you've dealt with some injury stuff. Like, it feels far too realistic. It feels far too realistic of a scenario. So, you know, I'm officially worried about, I'm already starting to think about baseball. Again, we're into January now, about a month away from seeing, you know, go at Clearwater, live for that, you know, seeing the truck go down there, living for that B-roll of every single TV station ever showing the pitcher running over to cover first during PFP drills. That is the obligatory, you know, spring training deal, right? And that's how you will know baseball is back. And once it starts getting a little bit warmer up here in the Northeast, you'll know that baseball is officially back. But I am officially worried about this bullpen now that they've lost Hoffman. I'm officially worried. I think the rotation got a little bit better, but still, you're one injury away from kind of being back where you were a year ago. And Taiwan Walker starting once every 5th day. And then just touching on a few other points in the roster that you don't really know what you're getting at here. I think the catcher spot has taken a decline. Real Muto seems to be on the wrong, you know, the wrong side of the arch here. His career seems to be arching downwards. Bryce, you know, I still have a lot of faith in over first base. Bryson Stott at second base took a real step back with the bat in 24. Alec Bohm at third base, they reached arbitration with him, arbitration avoiding agreement with him. So you hope that he can get things back on track with the bat at third. Trey Turner was a disaster last year. You really, both with the bat and with the glove especially, really hope that he can just give you a half-decent year over at shortstop. Left field, Max Kepler, they added him. You hope you can get decent production out of him. Center field, again, you hope you can get production out of Brandon Marsh. Right field, Castellanos, and your DH is Schwarber. Like, who do you feel? It's hard to say who you feel great about. And part of this is, I get it. We watch this team every day. We see the flaws with this team each and every day. And it's easy to say, oh, well, this team isn't that great. There's a lot of teams out there who would kill to have this Phillies roster in 2025. But this, and part of this also is that off seasons of late have included some big time contract, whether it was Nola's contract, Wheeler's contract, Trey Turner's contract, the Bryce contract going back a number of years at this point. This was the first offseason in a while where they did not hand out a big deal, and I feel underwhelmed. I'm officially at the point where I feel underwhelmed about the whole thing, where I feel like, what am I supposed to get excited about? This is the same team that let us down in the DS last year. I don't want to say it's at, like, where people are with the Sixers, where it's just get me to the playoffs, get me through this regular season. I would hate for that to be the case in baseball. There's 162 games. The MLB regular season is far too fun, in my opinion, to look at it that way. But it is frustrating, and it is annoying when you boil it down to the fact that it feels like it it feels like it's more likely that things end in a similar fashion the way they did a year ago than they will, you know, reaching the NLCS, reaching the World Series, actually winning a World Series. There's only so many years to do this. The window to actually go win the World Series, there's only so many years to go do it. Unless you pump out talent or have the money like a team like the Dodgers does, or, you know, now pump out money like the New York Mets do. It is hard to get that. It is really, really hard to get there. And so that is where I think the vibe, the energy that I have towards this team is. And I'd love to know where other people stand on it. If you want to, you know, leave a reply in the comments, you want to tweet at me at Dan_Wilson4. Would love to know where other people are at. Again, about less than a month away from Truck Day. It hardly feels like it. Baseball has a very, very short offseason that way. But we have gotten to that point. I just want to know, like, where are people at? Do you think the window's still open? How do you feel about this bullpen? Do you agree with me that it feels like eventually here, Dombrowski, I can already tell you that next summer it's going to be like, hey, what bullpen pieces is he going to add? We could always use one more. It would have been kind of nice if maybe you tried to trade for someone in the offseason as opposed to doing it in desperate fashion when you're sitting there with, you know, 50, 60 wins in July. Like, it'd be nice to up that total for the entire season and not have to wait just for the home stretch. So that's going to do it for this episode. In the next episode, I'm going to dive into what the Phillies do have in their bullpen, because I think that is really interesting. And again, where I would kind of grade my confidence level in each guy now that I've had some time to let the dust settle, let everything kind of simmer down. I don't personally have as much of a, or I don't think any of us do, as much of a playoff bias now that some time has gone by. It's like, all right, what's my confidence level in 2025 based upon their entire body of work in 24? Not necessarily weighing, I know the games are more important, but not weighing more heavily what their roles were in the postseason. As well as, you know, where I'm at with the manager, Rob Thompson, because he's obviously now returning for his third full season, fourth season in total. You know, as the Thompson magic kind of worn off a little bit, used to feel like there was like a mystique there. I don't know if that mystique is still there, but again, we will discuss all of that in the next episode. Again, that has been, you know, thank you for joining me here today on Phillies Today. We'll be with you back tomorrow. And yeah, again, until then, I hope everyone is continuing to enjoy this offseason, maybe, you know, watching some Eagles, watching some Sixers. Don't know if you're going to get a lot of joy there, but baseball, it will be here sooner, you know, than you know it. And spring training will be here sooner than you know it. It's really, January is kind of like the longest month to get through, and then we will be right back to it. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Yeah, tune back in tomorrow. Again, my name is Dan Wilson. As always, thank you so much for tuning in here to the Phillies Today podcast.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.